How do you handle energy crises? Using your two kinds of Jing the way they were intended is mostly a matter of expanding your consciousness, that is, paying closer attention to your relationship with your resources, and exercising discipline. Think of your acquired Jing as your daily allotment of energy. It's the energy that feels good, solid, and grounded. When it runs out and you tap into your inherited Jing, it feels like emergency energy. If you really pay attention to it, you'll notice a qualitative difference between these two kinds of energy. It's like the difference between the energy you have after a great night's sleep and a healthy breakfast, plenty of acquired Jing, and the energy of a strong cup of coffee after a terrible night's sleep, that raw feeling of inherited Jing released too early. The energy of burning inherited Jing may have a deep fatigue beneath it. It may feel edgy, jittery, and rushing. In biomedical terms, it often corresponds to activating the sympathetic nervous system or the fight-or-flight mechanism and getting hormonal energy by tapping your adrenal glands. If you pay attention, you may notice at some point in your day that your energy is waning, and you can choose to respect this or ignore it. If you ignore it and push through, you may well shift from consuming acquired Jing to consuming inherited Jing. Sometimes we call this pushing through the wall. If you do this frequently, it becomes taxing. When you crash into bed, having exhausted all of your acquired Jing and also having tapped into some of your inherited Jing, you're at an energy deficit. You used more resources than you had available. A better option would be to go to bed as soon as you get to the natural end of your daily allotment of energy. But the best option, especially if you have a past of not respecting your limits and you're exhausted as a result, would be to go to bed with some of your acquired Jing still left. It's a rare thing to encounter someone who's committed enough to their future health to practice this. In this way, you'd actually be investing some of your acquired Jing. And over time, you're likely to build up richer reserves. Certain diseases and the signs of aging in general are attributed to the depletion of Jing, such as graying and thinning of hair, loose and devitalized teeth, osteoporosis, hearing and vision loss, incontinence, poor memory, and muscle wasting. The concept is simple, really. Don't use more energy than you have. But we often have a hard time convincing our patients to take this idea seriously. Heck, plenty of practitioners, ourselves included, have a hard time abiding by this rule. Modern life makes us feel like we always need to do more, and to do it faster and harder, and that it's noble to push every step of the way to achievement. However, you simply can't exceed your available resources without paying a price, and with recurrent violation of this law, the price becomes increasingly steep. Early in my medical practice, I met an older professor of Chinese pulse diagnosis, and we started talking about this concept of not using more energy than you have, and how nobody takes it seriously. He himself had spent years breaking this rule as he strove to make a living as an acupuncturist in San Francisco. One day, he asked his own mentor, a true elder in our field, to treat him. But his mentor felt his pulses, and then refused. "I won't treat you," he said. "You need to work less. I can feel it in your pulses. There's no reason to try to build you up until you get this under control." Well, my professor tried for a little while, but of course he went back to the same pace of work as we all do, because who feels like they have the luxury of taking off time? And a few years later, while training with his own mentor again, he repeated his request for his mentor to treat him. And once again, his mentor felt his pulses and said, "Why do you keep asking me? I can feel that you're overworking. I won't treat you until you get this under control." Well, finally, my professor said he started making arrangements to cut back on work. Ultimately, he was able to stop working for a year and a half, and during that time, he looked at all the ways in which he was unintentionally expending energy. Things he did that got him upset, he realized, consumed energy. That meant not reading the newspaper or watching the news so much. Things that made him afraid or on edge, like scary movies, got his adrenaline flowing needlessly. And little by little, he became tuned in to everything that took an energetic toll without yielding something of value in return, and he cut these things out of his life. When he began this hiatus, his health was declining, he felt old, and he believed things could only go downhill. Afterward, he saw this time off as the single most life-changing act he had ever taken. He had his health back and his life back. It forever altered the way he related to his resources. He became conscious of the energy cost of all his choices and the potential return, or lack thereof, that he stood to gain. That didn't mean he never stayed up late dancing. That might be an energy expenditure he could recover from quickly and which would yield a huge return in the form of fun, connection, and a feeling of vitality. Sure, there might be some merit to burning through life fast. If that's your choice, please make sure you're doing it consciously. You might as well burn through it loud and bright, too, with no holding back and no regrets. What good is a life consumed prematurely due to fear or an obsession with work? Hopefully, you're at a place in life where there's ample opportunity to heal your relationship to your resources, to bring greater awareness to how you expend energy, and to evaluate whether the resource-demanding habits you engage in are actually worthwhile.